Recently, a colleague was talking about an experience he had well, on the way home. There was a great deal of construction on a rather long underpass on the road home. And it was messy, and it was bumpy, and dark, and it seemed to go on forever under this underpass. And then as he came out of the heavily construction-laden underpass, he was greeted with this most glorious sunset, complete with incredible colors of rich reds and oranges and pinks. And he said it was quite breathtaking. And he spoke of how in his mind, this must have been, in some ways, a reflection of the experience of the disciples who had been through the dark and horrible experience of the days of Jesus' arrest and trial and crucifixion, then coming out of that to the wondrous moments of those resurrection appearances after that first Easter Sunday. And then this final incredible sacred moment of witnessing Jesus ascending into heaven. It is perhaps one of those stories that may be hard for us to get our heads around because like the resurrection itself, we simply don't have experiences of such things in our day-to-day life. And yet, these are core to our faith, aren't they? Every week when we gather in this place, we proclaim that we believe that Jesus died, that he was resurrected from the dead, and after 40 days of resurrection appearances, he ascended into heaven. This is core to our faith. So again, to get our heads around the fuller picture, as we hear in John's gospel, let's just kind of dial it back some, all right? Let's go back to the very beginning of time. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and was part of creating all things. That's the very beginning of time. And then, as time goes on, we have the incarnation, right? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Baby Jesus was born in a manger in Bethlehem. Christmas. And then he spent 33 years living among us, fully human and yet somehow still fully divine. And after those final 3 years of his earthly ministry of teaching and preaching and healing, he was arrested, tried, and hung on the cross to die. Good Friday. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. Easter. And as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, there were 40 days of moments where his disciples witnessed the resurrected Jesus, among other places, on that first Easter Sunday in the garden, right, with Mary Magdalene. Easter night in the upper room with the disciples. And again, a week later, with the disciples and Thomas in the upper room. And then there was a story of Jesus on the road to Emmaus, the resurrected Jesus, and at the seaside in Galilee. So there's all these resurrection appearances, and some of which we have recorded during those 40 days after Easter Sunday, until this moment in time, our story this morning. We have the resurrected Jesus. He's gathered with the disciples. And as we heard in Luke, he takes the time to help them to understand what was written about him in the scriptures. Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. That's the work, right? That's the work we're called to do, to proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins through Jesus. And to do that, to spread that to all the nations. So Jesus gives them their marching orders. And he says, you will be witnesses to these things. You will be my witnesses. So go and tell the story of what you saw and heard. They saw incredible things, life-changing things. They experienced huge changes in their own lives. So now go tell somebody. That's what he said to them. Go and tell. Tell the story out to all the world. And this is no small task that he asked them. I get that, to go and witness to all of the things that they had experienced. But he doesn't just off you go. He promises he will give them what they need to do the job. Spoiler alert, that's next Sunday, Pentecost, the story of the Holy Spirit. So after he tells them it's their job to spread the good news of God's love, then he ascends into heaven. And I love, my favorite part of that story is that while he's blessing them, that's when he's ascending into heaven, right? That's their last visual experience of Jesus, is him blessing them, giving them love, giving them strength, giving them all that they need. He's blessing them as he ascends into heaven. So, how does this story connect with our own lives here in Wellington this morning? First of all, I think it's helpful in some small way to connect our own personal experiences to those of the disciples. So, a trite example, but bear with me. When I was a teenager and my parents would go away on vacation either the night before they left or that final morning, they would always do a walkthrough, right? These are the things you need to do while we're gone to keep things running. Now, make sure that the cat is fed, make sure that you let the dogs out to pee on a regular basis, make sure that the filter is running properly on the swimming pool, make sure that the furnace is running, blah, 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 blah. So the list of things that you are to do to keep things going in our absence. And what to do in case of emergencies. Maybe your parents did this with you, or perhaps you have done this with your own kids. Now give them what they need to do to keep things running. That's what Jesus was asking the disciples, right? It's your job to keep things going as I ascend into heaven. It's up to you now. And in some ways, as I said, that's like Jesus with the disciples, opening their minds to understand the scriptures and all that had happened as a fulfillment of the scriptures. And then he gave them the walkthrough on what to do. That it was their job to witness to this, to tell the story, not just in Jerusalem, but throughout all the earth. And then, as I say, he promised he would make sure they had all that they would need to do the job, the Holy Spirit. And then just like the final hug and kiss our folks would give us before they left, the last thing that the disciples experienced as Jesus is ascending into heaven is Jesus blessing them. That's his hug and his kiss to his kids, right? So perhaps this is a way to better help us on some level relate to the disciples' experience. But now, what are we to do with this? We've got our heads around it, we have a sense of identifying with it. What are we to do? Because there's always a what are we to do? Well, we are his disciples. The job he entrusted with them 2,000 years ago is our responsibility as well. It's on us now. We too are witnesses to the light and the love of Jesus. We know the difference that faith makes. You, maybe more blunt, you all know the difference that faith makes in your life. We know the difference God makes in our lives. We know about his grace and his mercy and his love and the gift of being forgiven and how powerful that is. We know the power and the importance of Christian community. And like those first disciples on Pentecost, we too have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, the presence and the power of Jesus in our hearts. So we got the tools to do the job. So, like them, our job is to witness to the love of God. Go now into the world and witness to the love of God. And for each of us, we do that in our own ways. Now, I'm not telling you that y'all have to go out there knocking on doors. You're okay. For some of us, we will, though, witness to it through our words. We'll talk about it. For others, we witness to the love and the mercy and the grace of God through our prayers. And for still others, it's the witness of our lives. People look at you and see how you live, and how you treat one another, and how you treat others in the world, and how you speak to others. And that's how you witness to the love and the grace and the mercy of God, is by your own life. You know, how we live shows the people the goodness of God's love and the difference it makes in our lives and in the world. So each of us, like St. Paul says, each of us according to the gifts that God has blessed us with. That's how we witness. So this Sunday, as we celebrate our Lord's ascension, may each of us claim our place among the disciples. And may we continue the work of spreading the good news to all that we meet. Amen. And if you feel moved to knock on doors, go ahead. I'm not telling you can't.